What time is it? We started class late. Did any of you start thinking, what's wrong with Marlon? Did any of you, why didn't any of you get up and start the class? Right? I mean, you've seen plenty of these classes. You know what to expect. Why did you not get up and do it? Maybe you thought, well, Marlon's the one that is assigned this quarter to lead this class. By the way, that's one of the hardest things I've ever done. I don't know that I've ever started a class late. We're going to talk about leadership today. But just like it was a little bit awkward, you're waiting for me to get up. You're waiting for me to take the lead. It's the way it is in your home. It's the way it is with your wife looking at you as your husband. Who has God given the responsibility to lead in the home, according to Ephesians 5:23? The husband. It's your responsibility. Your wife wants nothing more than for you to take the position that God has given you, the responsibility that God has given you. Now, it's not the world's view. It's not the picture that the world would paint for us, like a tyrannical leader. And we're going to talk about what it means to be the head of the home. You know, if your view is your view as far as what you think the Bible means to be the head of the home is, I'm laying down the law and I'm the one that makes all decisions, and I'm telling you, you've got the wrong view. And I want to show you that from scriptures. Being the head of the home and in that leadership, it's not about being in charge. It's about taking care of those that are in our charge. We have a responsibility to take care. We see this lesson is called sacrificial leadership. We might call it, servant leadership. And those are very, very similar. You know, somewhat popular in the business world today to talk about servant leaders. But today we're talking about servant leaders in the home. And what does that mean? And it's where leadership has to be sacrificial. It means being the first servant. Again, it's nothing new. It's been around as long as God had ordained marriage. If you are not married, I think there are things in this lesson that can be beneficial to you. You may be in a leadership position. There are things that you can take away from this in being a leader. If you're not in a leadership position, you can help those that are by looking at this and taking things away and saying, you know, help me evaluate someone and help me know how to help somebody else be a good leader. Because I tell you, being a good follower is very helpful, and being able to spend time talking to people that lead and guiding them, right? Leaders are not perfect. How many times did you hear Joel talk about it when he and I were first appointed as elders? And since then, with Shannon and Brian and I, as leaders, we have a responsibility. We are going to make a mistake. We're not going to handle everything perfectly. We're not going to do it just right. But what helps in that? It's our attitude. If we have a humble attitude and we're able to listen and we're able to change, able to do the things that we need to do, that and be servants, that's what people, I think, look for. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body." Who does it immediately compare the husband to? As Christ. Talk about pressure. As Christ. I'm to be like Christ. That's what we've been talking about. Josh has brought that up several times so far this year in his lessons about keeping our eye on Christ and being Christ-like and getting closer to him every day. Let me ask you something personal. If I were to go to your wives and ask them, how is the leadership in your home? How is that going? What response would I get? What would I hear? If I talk to you, would I hear, well, she's just not following me. She won't listen to me. I've been around for a while now, and I've seen some things. And I want to say this to the men, and again, this lesson is about leadership, so obviously it's God has given the men the responsibility. We'll talk about submission in another class. I have a whole class dedicated to submission, and what does that mean? And it's not just women that are to be submissive. Men need to be submissive to the Lord. But men, if we're not willing to follow Jesus, why would you expect your wife to follow you? Why? If you're not doing the things that God wants you to do, the first priority of your wife is to follow Jesus, submit to Jesus. Then she can submit to you. If we as husbands are not submissive to Christ, why would you ever expect her to be submissive to follow you? Our wives can love us, they can serve us, but submission is a very challenging, difficult thing when you're not doing what you need to do. She has responsibilities. God will hold her accountable for those things. And again, we'll talk about that in the class on submission. But give her a reason to want to follow you, right? I mean, that's what Christ did. Christ put us first. He loved us first. He forgave us first. He was empathetic with us first. And that's what we do as husbands. That doesn't come naturally to us. We have to learn that. We have to work at that. We have to take steps at that. But a point that I wanted to make to the husbands is you are not in this alone. Right? What purpose did God give Adam, Eve? It says, called her a helpmeet. Helpmate, helpmeet. The King James Version says helpmeet. Now, outside of that, how many times have you ever used that term, help meet? If you're like me, none, because it's older terminology. What does that mean? Different versions that you look at, I use the New American Standard Version because that's what I used for years and got used to. How does it put it? What does it call her? Since I will... Helper, comparable. I will make him a helper fit for him. Right? Is that how you view your wife? As a helper to you? Something that's fit for you? Just for you? That's the way the relationship should be, and that's what you've got to hone it into. Your wife wants you to succeed at leadership in your home. And she'll help you any way that she can. Sometimes she's just not sure what to do. How does she do that? You've got to be willing to play your role to do the things that God expects you to do. So help her. Now, that's not caving in on everything, you know. But you're considerate of what she needs. You're considerate of what your children may need before your own, right? Any other thoughts or comments about God's given responsibility to the husband?
I found it helpful that word is also used of God. That he's the same exact word is he's our help. So it's not a derogatory term that she's some kind of assistant.
That's right. Absolutely not. And we need to value that. And again, it's a role that God has played. God has given the husband a role. God has given the wife a role. We have roles that God has given. And when we do it God's way, we can see how it works. It's when we try to do it a different way that we often get in trouble. What does it mean for a man to lead his family? Pretty open-ended question. What does it mean? I think we'd all agree that we need to do that. Josh?
Biblically, I mean, the primary emphasis is spiritual training, directing, guiding.
Spiritually. We're to lead our family spiritually. What else? What does it mean to you to lead your family? Taking care of what they need. What your kids need, what your wife needs. And there's an element of what you need too, but they're first, right? You take care of those things. Maybe plans with your family. What I mean by plans with your family is, you know, looking ahead. What do you see coming at your family that you need to anticipate? What are the things you need to be prepared for? You know, if you have little ones and you're thinking, well, what are we going to do about school? Are we just going to show up one day and you're at school? Or, you know, are you, how do I protect my children? And what does that protection look like? What does it mean? What do I need to protect? What am I protecting from, right? Giving some thought to that. Not just having everything come at you in just one day. Oh, what are we going to do? You know, it's some planning. It's some thought that goes into that. The husband doesn't carry authority because he's superior. He carries authority because God wants direction in the home. He wants us to be leader servants. He wants husbands to come into that position as that lead servant so that decisions can be made based on what's best for my wife, what's best for my family, not necessarily what's best for me. And we need to be mindful of that. As leaders, we need to have a mental shift. This is going to sound a little harsh at first, but I think those of you that are older are going to go, yep. How many of us think that things are going to get easier before too long? Right? I can remember at work, and we had this project, and man, it was just all day, every day, just get this project done, get this project done. But in my mind, as soon as this project is over, okay, we can regroup, we can relax, we can, right? And what would happen 100% of the time? Before I even finished that first project, what happened? Another project. Another thing on fire, another thing that really was really important, things that really had to be done, right? Do you experience that in your life? My guess is you do. And somehow in our mind, maybe it's a survival technique, but we think, well, it's going to get better. It's going to get easier. I don't mean to be harsh, but it doesn't get any easier. You think, Marlon, you're trying to encourage people, right? Here's the encouraging part. You get better. You get better at handling hard. Things will be difficult, but you get better at handling it. Why? Because you have experience. You need to lead your family through those hard things. And the more you do that, the better you're going to be at it. You know, sometimes we think, well, they've got it easier. You know, I'd sure like to trade places with him. Is that true? Is there anybody here that you'd like to trade places with? Because I've had an advantage that some of you don't have, is I've had an opportunity to get to know your story. And I know a lot of the things that you have dealt with and continue to deal with, right? I'm going to pick on Tori and Ethan. I want to swap places with him. He's got it easier. Ethan works for his dad. That sound harder or easier? If I were to ask them, they would probably both say the same thing. It's good, but it's hard. Why? I'm thinking about Tori as a father. Tori's got his son working with him. That's a great thing. But Tori's got to be mindful, I can't play favorites, right? And now I'm over here at Ethan. Ethan's going, play favorites? He gives me the hardest jobs because he knows I'm not going to quit. He'd kill me if I quit, right? You think that's easy? Stop and think and look at those things. Look at those situations. It gets really challenging. What happens when a husband doesn't lead? What happens? None of you got up and started to teach the class. That didn't wait terribly long. But what happens when there's an absence of leadership?
Disorder.
Someone
will eventually take the lead.
Yes. We're going to talk about that in just a moment, as some specific things of what it looks like when that leadership is absent. Somebody's got to lead, right? Somebody's got to take some actions. Now, it certainly may not be the actions that everybody wants, but we have to take that leadership role. Often, women will, and that's not that they want to, but they feel like they don't have any choice. They have to. And what does a husband do? He's going to complain about what she does. Husband, lead your homes spiritually. God tells fathers in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, fathers, bring your children up in the Lord. And that's directed to you. Yes, your wife can help you, but who is responsible? I am. Lead those studies with the kids. Make plans for your family. Not selfish plans. Hear them out, but lead, right? It is not a good situation when there's an absence of leadership. God doesn't like it, God doesn't expect it, and neither should we. We've got to think about that and not just live life haphazardly, whatever comes, comes, but to deal with those things and anticipate some of those things. That's why it's called leadership. List the activities, the reputation, the disposition, and inner character commanded of men in 1 Timothy 2, Titus 2, 2 and 6 through 8. So what did you come up with on your list? What was one of the first things? Praying. What else? Be sober-minded. Temperate. Be dignified. Be sensible. Sound in faith. In love and perseverance. Good examples. With purity and doctrine. Beyond reproach. Pretty healthy list there, right? Paul wrote to both Timothy and Titus and with some thoughts on how men need to act, both older men and younger men. And again, everyone here, regardless of your marital status, can benefit from taking a look at this list. But because we're talking about leadership today, I want to pick just a couple of these, just for the sake of time, just a couple of these from the list and talk about them and how that helps leadership in the home. I don't want to leave any of them out, but again, time is somewhat limited. So let's start with temperate. What does it mean to be temperate? It's one of those words you kind of know, but you don't know.
Some element of self-control involved in that.
Yeah, to exercise power or self-control, right?
Even keel.
Is that important for a leader in your home? Yeah, and it's not that, you know, you're given an impossible task. There are times as the leader of your home, you're going to get excited about something. You know, if your kid's walking out toward traffic, you are going to yell, right? You're going to get excited. You're going to take action, and you see them going to fall down the stairs or something that's going to hurt them. You're going to take action, right? But on the day-in, day-out basis is what we're talking about, and being temperate in those things. Do your kids or your wife have to guess which version of you they're talking to that day? Right? Are they going to get the good version of you or the less kind person of you? Do they time, well, when can we talk to him about something? I'd like to do it today, but let me see what mood he's in, right? That's not temperate. If you're blowing off at the or going off at the handle, I forgot what words I'm supposed to use. Been around my daughter-in-law too much. inside joke there. But if I'm flying off the handle and just, they don't know what they're going to deal with that day, that's not being temperate. That's not very helpful. It's something we need to work on, to think about. What about perseverance? What does your family see you do in your work? Now, we can talk later about being workaholics. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not a good thing. I'm talking about perseverance, where things get challenging. I'm going to say it's at work. Well, I didn't sleep well last night. I got a crick in my neck. I'm not going to work today. Or, I'm just not feeling it today. I'm not going to do that. You know, the family had planned to do something together. You guys go ahead, right? You persevere through things. You take on those hard things. Do you do that in your relationship? Because if they see you patterning that in your life, are they worried about that in their relationship? I don't even work on that. Right? Or do you persevere through it? Do you put your head down and you make sure that you're doing the right thing for the right reasons? You've got their interests at heart, but you're pushing through those things. You know, you may have heard me say this before, but I think it fits here and it was helpful. When I had all three of our boys home and we would be doing Bible study at night, there were times, not very often, but occasionally we would be doing a Bible study and I'm over there reading about brotherly love or something like that, and they're punching each other, I've had to stop and just say, just go to bed. You're not hearing a word I'm saying, just go to bed, right? That's discouraging. And what they didn't realize is I'd worked all day long. I was tired. I just wanted to sink into the couch and watch TV or something. That's what I wanted to do, but I knew that it was important. We needed to do this as a family. And then they're over there doing that. I put time and effort to get a lesson together to talk to them about. And they couldn't care less. Man, that's demoralizing. That hurts, right? Now, as a kid, they don't even think about that. That's okay. But what do you do? Do you say, I'm done? No, you come back tomorrow night, and you do it again. And you come back the next night, and you do it again. You come back the next night, and you do it again. You come back and do it again. Why? Because you love them. You persevere, even when it's hard. Because you care. Don't give up. Don't stop. What about beyond reproach? You lead when people know that you're walking the walk, not just talking the talk. Your kids and your wife know if your deeds match your words. If you want to know what's going on with a family, just talk to their kids. You'll find out pretty quick. Are you saying one thing on Sunday and then something else very different on Monday? You're not living it. Your family's going to see that. They're going to know. And you can change that. Thoughts or comments on any of the others? Again, I'm trying to be mindful of time. I told Cindy if I got through four questions today, I would be doing good. So much to talk about. What's the difference in leading and leading by example? All right. Now, because I said something about time doesn't mean that you can't speak up. I want to encourage that too. What is the difference? Are they one and the same? You know, I can see an argument where true leading is leading by example. I know it's a kind of an odd question, but... And you may have wrestled with this one a little bit. Here's where I wanted to go with it. You can lead by barking out orders and, you know, doing certain things, and that's a form of leadership. It's not one that I'd necessarily recommend. But how much more powerful is it when your wife sees you, your children see you doing it versus just talking about it? I've talked to people that have had fathers that talked a good game but didn't do what he talked about. Leadership by example means guiding others through with your behaviors, inspiring them to do the things that you would want them to do. That is a leadership style. That's a servant leadership style. And when you model it, you model that behavior that you want to see in your family, that is what you're going to get, right? How do I do that? Be a man of your word. Matthew 5, verse 7 says, "But let your yes be yes and your no, no, and anything beyond this is evil." Follow through on your promises. You want to lead your family? You want to lead by example? It shows your wife and kids just what your level of commitment is. And it helps them have confidence in your leadership when you do what you say you're going to do. My dad, I remember some advice my dad gave me in raising children. He said, never lie to your kids. If you tell them you do that again, I'm going to spank you. You know what you need to do? Do it again, you spank them. Why? Because that's what you told them you were going to do. Live up to what you said. And I thought, well, come on, Dad. You give me something profound. And over the course of time, it got more profound. I understood. When he told me that, I didn't really understand it. And as I got kids and as they got older, I understood it, right? Be a man of your word so they can trust what you say, therefore what you do. Bring some energy. And this can be a challenging one. Bring some energy to what you're doing. And what does that mean? It means making it a priority, right? You've been working all day. What's the last thing you want to do when you get home? Could be a whole list of things, right? Generally, we want to just sit down, relax, and the older I get, the more I want to do that, right? But your kids need you. Your wife needs you to be present. Don't go and start the gaming console and just sit down for hours and just sink into that and that's all you do, right? Bring energy to your family. Bring energy to what they need. And it's going to make a difference for them. They're going to pick up on your attitude and your mentality, and they're going to mirror that. And if you're spending energy on them, they're going to recognize that. And they're not going to, your kids aren't going to go, oh, Dad's spending energy on me. But they're going to see it. They're going to know what's happening, and they're going to recognize it. And they're going to respond, I think, favorably to it. And again, all these things, it's not perfect. It's not, you do exactly these things, and your life is just going to be rainbows and unicorns and all that. It's not. You're going to have challenges. It's going to come. But this is the day-in, day-out things that you can do, and you can start today to be helpful with that. Work alongside them, right? Work with your family. The most effective, I think, family leaders work with them. Take your kids to do things, to volunteer, to help somebody out, to be able to make a difference for somebody else. Let them see it. Right there beside you. Listening to others. Listen to your wife, listen to your kids, listen to others. Because everyone has some value to add to the conversation. Now, you've got to be prudent. You've got to decide, well, that makes sense for my family. That is a good thing. I'll take on that. Or if it's something that's not of value, then discard it, right? You've got the right and the responsibility to evaluate that. Proverbs 11:14 puts this way, where there are no guidance to the people will fail, but in abundance of counselor there is victory. What is that saying? Listen to other counselors, right? Listen to what other people say. You evaluate it. You're responsible for what you do, but there's value in that. And finally, watch what you say and what you do. You're leading by example, and be aware of how your family would interpret what you say and what you do, especially in stressful situations. How do you react? How do you respond? You have to have a level head. You've got to stay calm. And your family needs that calmness. It needs that direction. Proverbs 21:23 says, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles." Have you ever got excited with your family? I'm thinking kids now, maybe your spouse, and said something you wish you hadn't, right? And I go, again, I know this is a challenge. This is not easy. None of these things are easy, but these are the things we need to be working on and be mindful of. And that planning I was talking about for family, think about these things before you get there. If you know what, you know, you're not going to be able to predict what circumstance is going to come up and, you know, how am I going to react in that circumstance? But you can generally know, okay, if things don't go well, what can I do? What, play it through in your mind before you get there so that you have something to fall back on when it does happen. You know where you're going and how you're going to handle those things and what you're going to do, okay? Thoughts, comments over leading by example? All right, number five. What are some descriptions of home life when men do not take the lead as God directed? Josh mentioned one just a few minutes ago, chaotic. So I wrote down frustrating, lost, depressing. What are some other things that come to mind? Lots of things probably come to mind when we don't do things God's way, but do any of these describe your home at times? Yeah, in Jacob's family, wanted to kill their brother, right? Now, obviously, there was parent favoritism. Here's a coat of many colors and caused some jealousy, but what's going on there? What else do you see happening when men don't take the lead as God wants us to? A lack of respect. How does that affect a family? How does that affect a husband-wife relationship? Any husband gets frustrated when they're not respected? Remember a couple of lessons ago, I guess, what husbands need? Respect is one of those things that clearly a husband needs. The Bible talks about wives respecting your husbands. What's one of the key things for a husband to do to be respected? Respect others, be a leader, be respectable, act respectable. Okay. Any other ways you'd describe it?
It's usually when power struggles within the home begin to break out. Maybe a wife who's exerting more authority than what she should. Maybe you don't even have kids. Almost kind of.
Yeah. Children will go their own way, right? If you don't have that leadership there, the children are seeking that. And if they don't find it at home, they're going to try to find it somewhere else.
Passes down to the next generation. What you teach your children or you don't teach your children is going to be passed on possible. Not all cases, but...
Yep. Yeah, you can often see from one generation to the next. And that cycle's hard to break. It can be broken, but it's hard to break. I've seen cases in both examples. Just when you were talking, that two of them came to mind. One good and one not so good. There are naturally ups and downs that are going to occur. But those should be short in duration, right? What we're talking about is the day in, day out. Those lingering things. And so that's why it's so important that we take our role seriously. And again, we're talking about a lifetime here. This is not something that just happens one time and you're done. It's again, it's over and over, and things that we've got to work on. It's going to take years to get where you want to be. I don't know that you'll ever get where you really want to be, but it's something that you're working toward, and you're challenging yourself and you're pushing yourself, okay? What is the character and motivation of the earthly leaders versus what Jesus said we're to do or to be? Matthew chapter 20, 25 and 28. Yeah. So what she said is men want to be served, and Jesus wants us to be a servant, to serve other people. How he put it is lording it over us. Have you ever been in one of those situations? You know, maybe you're at a job and somebody's newly promoted and they see the authority that they have and they lord it over you. What does that look like? Well, I'm better than you. I'm the manager now. I'm superior to you. You have to do what I say. And so go pick up that trash, you know, or, you know, something maybe lowly that they're pushing you toward. That's not being a leader. You know, they exercise their authority. Again, you've seen that. Not that it, you know, exercising authority in and of itself is not a bad thing, but why are you doing it? And are you doing it just because you have the authority? Are you doing it just because you want to push somebody, just because you want to push somebody's buttons? If that's your view of what a leader should be, then it's a wrong view, right? He wants us to serve. Now, when you've been in one of those situations and somebody takes full advantage of the authority they have over you, how did that make you feel? How did you react to that? Now, depending on, you know, how bad you needed the job and, you know, the particular situation, you know, could be in school, could be a variety of things where somebody takes advantage of that. How do you think your wife will react to that if that's the way that you treat her? Probably the same way you do. You bristle, right? You may gut your way through it. You may do it because you don't have any choice. You're going to do it, but it's not going to be a good thing. Be a servant leader. A servant leader is a servant first. And that means that you're focused on the well-being and the growth in others. In this case, in your home. In the Christian realm, all leadership should be servant leaders. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 to 28, but Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." If Jesus, and we're trying to be like Jesus, what did he say? He came to give his life as ransom for many. I'm not giving my life as a ransom because my life isn't perfect. His was. But I am giving my life in service to my wife and to my children and to you, right? To each other. That's how we're to be known. Okay. All right, number 7. What is the pattern of Christ's leadership in Ephesians chapter 5? And just again, from a time standpoint, we'll go through these. In verse 23, lead spiritually, sacrificial love, sanctify, holy and blameless, nourish and cherish. What do all those things have in common? What do all those things do, right? Holy and blameless, right? Does that describe you? Nourish and cherish? Does that talk about a relationship? Does that describe your relationship, your leadership style? If we as husbands are to pattern our marriage relationship after our relationship with Christ, as with the church, we can learn from his example and just what we need to be. And this is it. Your wife wants you to lead spiritually. Take that role very seriously. Lead spiritually. Have sacrificial love. It's not about me. It's about her. Sanctified, set apart, holy and blameless. Does that describe your relationship? Those are things that we're to be striving for. Thoughts, comments on this section?
I'll try to be brief.
Okay.
I've been thinking a lot about the wife's role in encouraging her husband, because sometimes in a marriage, you think, okay, he can be so much much more, and he can lead, and he needs to be doing this, 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 and Bible study. Like, we have all these things going in our head, but nagging's not going to work. I know that from first experience. But being prayerful about it, praying for your husband and that leadership, and then every time that they take steps to lead, just encourage, like, thanking them for that and just building them up. Because I think as young girls who are about to get married, they need to hear from older women that when you get married, you're not marrying your father. So, like, if you grew up in a spiritual household, I married Caleb. Caleb is not going to be on the spiritual level that I just came from and my dad leading. And vice versa, I'm not going to be Cindy as a wife and mother that has all this experience. So lowering those expectations, being prayerful together to work on it together, I don't know how to sum all that up, but
I've been thinking a lot. Yeah, and managing those expectations, right? So what you're leaving is somebody with 20, 30 years experience when you leave, and you're coming to somebody that has zero experience as a spouse, right? So there has to be a period of that growth. Austin? And it's important, too, to think about the example that we're shooting for. We often want an example of, okay, what did I see? What did I see growing up, right? That's our reference point. That's what we know. Whether good or bad, that's what we know. But we're to be looking for to Christ. That's who we're to be looking at. If we pattern it after that, that relationship, and you know how Jesus would handle those situations, that's what's going to give us the answer that we're looking for. Sometimes you saw it patterned, and that's a great thing. Sometimes you didn't see it patterned. If you're patterning it after your father or after your mother, you're making a mistake. When I say that sounds harsh. I don't want that to sound bad. There's a lot of good mothers and a lot of good fathers. But I guarantee you, as a father, I tell my boys, don't look at me. Look to Jesus, right? Yes, if I do something good, follow it. But only because I'm doing it because Jesus did it, right? That's what we need to be pointing people toward. All right, I got to do number 9, true or false. Leadership in marriage is not about who is the better leader. It's about the function where God has placed the husband. True or false? I wouldn't have written it that way unless it was true. Absolutely true. God put us in this relationship. God put us in this role, embrace that role, and live it. So thank you for your time. Appreciate your patience.